brothers. And Brother Lee offered another thing. And Brother Nee, witness, what is patience? And eventually, Brother Lee lost his patience. And he said, you tell me, Mr. Slowpoke. No, he didn't say that. And you know what Brother Nee said? He said, patience is Christ. Amen. That really helped quick Brother Lee. Patience is Christ. But you see, saints, we're all different by birth. Look at Peter and John. Peter was bold. Lord, we're never going to forsake you. And then there's John at the Last Supper with his head on the Lord's breast. Everyone, the Lord is talking about, somebody's going to betray me. Somebody's going to betray me. You know, and the brothers are probably saying, is it me? Is it me? And there's John on the Lord's breast. Is it I? Peter was heroic. Peter was very quick. And John, a little more laid back. But the Lord put those two together, and I just have to share this. That even reading the Gospel of John, you could see the difference in the disposition. John reports that on the day of resurrection, the brothers ran to the tomb because the sisters had come back. They were way ahead. Came back and told the brothers, the Lord is risen. So Peter and John, you know, the Lord really put the two of them together. They ran to the tomb. And of course, John made us all clear that he got there first. And Peter, you know, he was probably huffing and puffing, you know, and he eventually got there and he went right in. He went right in. You know, Peter was bold. That was his disposition. He went right in and he saw. But John said that when he went in, he saw and believed. No such word about Peter, right? And the Lord is talking about, you know, the death by which Peter, through martyrdom, would glorify the Lord. And then Peter sees John over there and he said, what shall this man do? What shall Mr. Slowpoke do? Any of the Lord said, that's up to me, follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it's what we are by birth. That is our disposition. We're born that way. So, saints, we differ from one another. Have you noticed? You know, in the training, it was uncanny how the Lord would put different dispositions together. You know, on the one hand, let me just insert here, you look at the kingdom, you look at the New Jerusalem, and there you see the multifarious wisdom of God. I'm so glad tonight we have all different colors here in this meeting. We have red, and yeah, I'm not sure we have any red. Do we have any Indian people here? Anyway, yellow, we have yellow. We have black, we have white, right? They are precious in his sight. We used to sing this in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they were precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And I sang that, and I looked around, and everybody was white. But I'm so glad to be here tonight where we have all the different people. I just love you all.
Amen.
And I'm so glad to be here. But we're different not only outwardly like that. I mean, it's really something that in the New Jerusalem, the Lord will build his building with all different races and all different cultures. But he will also do it with all different dispositions. Not only outwardly what you could see, but inwardly what people cannot see. What a multifarious wisdom of God, right? We differ from one another, and our disposition in the natural needs to be dealt with. Isn't it something? We're made by God a certain way, but we have to be dealt with by God. If you have a problem with that, you need to ask God. And this dealing with our disposition, we'll get into it later on in the message. You notice my messages, the outlines are not that long. It's not that it doesn't take a while to get through them. But we will see. We can deal with our disposition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is the deepest dealing. You know, saints, many of us have been able to deal with sin, maybe with the world. Have you dealt with the world? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Anyway, that's something else. But a deeper dealing is with our disposition. That is, with our old man, our soul life, our self. What we are by birth, naturally. B, listen to this. We may start our Christian life growing well. Most Christians do. They start off like a house on fire. Grow very well. Oh, you know, I remember, you know, right after I got saved, I was just overflowing. I overflowed to my mom. She was sitting there just smiling and taking it all in and trying to encourage me. We may start our Christian life that way, growing well. But we may eventually stop growing due to a particular, peculiar aspect of our disposition. And the reason I have the brothers call 840 tonight is that one line from peculiar traits deliver from my independent way. Peculiar traits eventually come in to frustrate our growth. This is our disposition, this peculiar trait. To repeat a little bit, number one, initially, we may deal with the world. We may deal with our weak points by learning to cast ourselves on the Lord, turn to the Spirit, right? And we may initially deal with sin, right? We have to. Plus, you know, Brother Lee pointed out that in our earlier days, we sacrificed much for the Lord. Look back at your history tonight as much as you can. We sacrificed much for the Lord, and we listened to many messages. Right? Have you listened to many messages? I tell you, I've been in the recovery for over 52 years. I've listened to many, 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 many messages. And, you know, this not only was it at the beginning, but it's as we went on with the Lord. And we loved the messages. Don't you love the messages? I'm not sure you love mine, but, you know, you love the messages. We love the messages. It sounds like us, right? Sacrifice much for the Lord, you know, listen to many messages, but we're stuck in the matter of the growth in life. Initially, we had a good beginning, but point two, this peculiar trait began to hold us back from progressing in our growth. And Brother Lee said this could even happen, stretch out for 50 years. stopped growing. I think Brother Nee and Brother Lee found this out through their own experience and observation, that there's something within us that is like a stronghold, that is this peculiar trait. Unless it is dealt with, it will frustrate us in our life, growth, and in our service, our usefulness. So, saints, thus far, what is your attitude toward your disposition? I think we need to say, Lord, we need to deal with it.
Amen.
Or rather, Lord, you need to deal with it with our cooperation.
Amen.
Well, this peculiar trait, number three says, has also caused many of our sufferings. This particular, maybe we're too quick, impulsive. And, you know, it leads to suffering. You know, it has some consequences. You know, you say something in an impulsive way to a brother, and oh, there's trouble. Or you were too slow. You were too slow to react to something. And so you missed something. This can cause trouble. And you know, Brother Lee pointed out that the rebellions in the Lord's recovery, and since I've been here, I think I've witnessed three of them over the years, they are due to this peculiar trait in the different brothers. It causes suffering. Brother Lee gave the example of a student doesn't study due to this peculiar trait that he has. He doesn't study. And as a result, the professor doesn't like him. And as a result, he gets poor grades. And as a result, he doesn't do well in school, and it's hard for him to find a job. That's a suffering due to his disposition. So, three says we have to be warned regarding our disposition and learn to deal with it. Saints, are you still okay?
Yes. Amen.
You want to walk out?
No.
You got a lot of doors here. Don't. This may save you a lot of trouble. We have to be warned. And we have to deal, not just warned. You know, you could just be warned tonight. Well, I was warned about the judgment seat. I was warned about, you know, criticizing. You know, I was warned about a lot of things this weekend. And then you just go out and you're the same, except you've been warned. Good as that. We need not only to be warned, but we need, together with the Lord, with him and in him, to deal with it. D, our soul life is embodied in the self, which is expressed through the mind, that is, the opinion. Are you following me?
Yeah.
I refer you to the footnote in Matthew 16, verse 24, footnote number 2. Brother Lee lays out how this works. We have a soul life, which is embodied in the self, same thing. And this soul life embodied in the self is expressed through the mind, that is, through our opinion. You know, this morning we were on the matter of criticizing, you know, which is cancer in the recovery. And tonight we're dealing with opinion, which is also a matter, a cancer, in the Lord's recovery. So many opinions. When the mind is set on the things of men and not on the things of God. Which, sorry to say, is a lot of the time. with us. And actually, saints, the criticism that we saw in Matthew 24 in that parable, the beating of the fellow slave, that criticism comes from the disposition. You have a particular disposition, and that brother doesn't match your disposition. It doesn't match your concept. He doesn't match your opinion on how a brother should be, so you react by criticizing him. You see how this works? You see how this becomes the enemy's playground? The criticism comes from the opinion, which comes the opinion or the concept. We all have our concept. We all have our particular disposition. And this can be seen, point one, in Peter's quick, heroic reaction in Matthew 16 in the verses that we read. I think this is very significant. You know, that's the way Peter was. He was quick. He was impulsive. He was heroic. You know, the Lord mentions, well, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and the religious leaders are going to kill me. And on the third day, I will, you know, rise from the dead. I don't think Peter heard that third day rise from the dead. All he heard was that the Lord was going to be killed. And the heroic Peter rose up and said, Lord, this will not be to you if I have anything to do with it. He didn't say that, but you know, that's Peter. This shall not be to you. And the same thing happened in the garden. You know, they came to arrest the Lord, and Peter is there, you know, his disposition, excuse me, you know, his disposition comes out, and off comes the ear of the servant of the high priest. You know, the Lord, praise the Lord, you know, you read that, it's not humorous, but it's kind of, the Lord picks up the ear and puts it back. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Isn't the Lord good? Here's Peter blowing it again. And then how about I go fishing? Nothing seems to be going on here. I go fishing. You know, the impulsive, heroic Peter, I'm going fishing. Of course, the disciples, this is a strong guy. They all followed him in his backsliding. Peter lived a lot according to his disposition. And saints, you know, last night we have the matter of being corrected. You know, the Lord did a lot of correcting of Peter. It's there. Remember, the person from the temple came to Peter right after, you know, the transfiguration. You know, right after the transfiguration. Then, you know, that tax collector came and he says, does your master pay the temple tax? And Peter right away, yes. Right? Is this not his quick disposition? Again and again and again. But you know, the Lord is so good. You know, it says, the King James, I'll never forget, the King James says the Lord prevented him. That means the Lord, you know, before Peter went through the door, the Lord was outside at the door saying, Peter. You remember the story. You know, Peter, you said just a little while ago that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? I'm the Son, and my Father is the Father, and the temple is my Father's house.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, he did.
And so, Peter, you know, concerning the tax, the sons are free. I don't need to pay the tax.
Wow.
I'm the Son of God, which you said.
You should have put me in
That's right. But you know, the Lord is so gracious. Saints, as the Lord is with us in dealing with our disposition, you know, if I were God, you know, forget about making it all the way to Matthew. If I were God in Genesis 3, the hammer would have come down. Let's start over. Let's start over. You know, this man isn't working out. But God is, you know, I love that King James word, long suffering. Long suffering and patient. And he has the view for everyone in this room. Hallelujah. Concerning our disposition. Isn't that something, Todd? Hallelujah. So the Lord told Peter, he said, Peter, I want you to go fishing. That was Peter's trade. And so, you know, the first fish that you get will have some money. And I want you to take that. And he told him the exact amount that it would be. Enough for Peter and enough for the Lord. And he said, you pay the tax for you and for me. That's the Lord. Not just Peter, you dummy. The Lord is so good. He made us. We are what we are. But he's with us to deal with it. And I don't think Peter caught that fish right away. Right? You know, Peter's there. You know, he's always, the engine is always revved up. And he's there waiting. We don't know how long. But eventually the fish came. And there was the temple tax, and there was the dealing with his disposition. Over and over and over again. Correction. You see it there? That's correction. That's judgment beginning at the house of God. I didn't dream it up. Well, in Matthew, here is a very important point. In Matthew 16, there, refers to Matthew 16, we can see something quite serious. And that is, Satan is in our opinion. Right, Peter, the one who expressed his opinion. Oh, Lord, this shall not be to you. No, no, you're not going to be killed. Lord, you're not going to be killed. You're the king. We're the co-kings. Don't do that. I don't know what his rationale was. And then how did the Lord answer him? He answered Peter, and he said, get behind me, Satan. Satan was in Peter's opinion. Peter's opinion became the avenue for Satan to come in. Satan rode out of those gates of Hades on that particular occasion. Wow. Our opinion. Satan is in our opinion. Our opinion comes from ourself. That is from our disposition. And our disposition, dear saints, the self, the old man, is fallen. That means Satan is mixed up with it. So it's serious. You know, you saints, we need to be sober tonight. Sitting around with the saints, you know, you're just talking about, you know, something maybe related to the church, and, you know, you give your opinion. There's my opinion. And you haven't prayed and put the old man in the tomb. You're still in the natural. Opinion. Just Satan is coming out. And our disposition is seen in our opinion. Peter was quick and heroic. His quick and heroic disposition was seen as he expressed his opinion. Lord, no. This shall not be to you. Not while I'm here. Well, he didn't say that, but that was probably in his thought. Now, here's something very important. Our disposition, dear saints, uncannily is versus God's economy. I wonder if you heard what I said. It's uncanny, but our fallen disposition is actually versus God's economy. If we express it, think about what the Lord was talking about in Matthew 16. What was he talking about? He was talking about, I'm going to Jerusalem to be killed, and in 3 days I will rise from the dead. Saints, the triune God was in the midst of being processed.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? The Lord had been incarnated, and he was living his human life at this particular point. Then he unveiled to the disciples the next two steps in the process. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I need to die. And then I need to rise from the dead. That is God's processing. Do you understand what I'm saying, people?
Amen.
I feel like I'm talking to statues. Think about it. Peter expressed his opinion right at that moment, and that became versus what God was doing. God was going to Jerusalem to be killed so that he could be raised up to become the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
To bring humanity into divinity.
Amen.
And to bring us all forth as the many sons of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what was going on there. That's what the Lord was talking about. And here Peter expresses his opinion, which is absolutely versus God's economy. But then how about us? You might be a quiet person. You might be a quiet person. You just think, well, you know, Fred, you know, he'll do the talking. Brother Jim Spate, you know, he'll do the talking. You know, Todd and you know, our brother here, they'll do the talking. You know, I just can keep my mouth shut. So you live according to your disposition, your quiet disposition, your self-loving, face-loving disposition. But guess what, saints? That is against God's economy. Why? Because prophesying builds up the church.
Amen.
Prophesying builds up the church.
Amen.
So here's Satan saying, stay in your seat, keep your mouth shut. You might say something wrong. They'll think you're an idiot. They won't respect you. Just shut up and stay there and don't get up. And if you listen to that, God's economy, to some extent, is being frustrated. You may have a word that all the saints really need. Do you see this, saints? This matter of our disposition is not a small matter. If we express, allow our disposition to come out, live according to our fallen disposition, this is versus God's economy. E, in the Lord's work, that is our service, in the church life, in the spiritual life, the greatest damaging factor is our opinion. It affects life and it affects service. Our usefulness in service greatly depends on how we handle our opinion. Brother Lee said that when he was younger, a younger co-worker, when he was opinionated, the older brothers couldn't use him very much. And then he found out when he was leading the work that when the younger brothers were opinionated, he couldn't use them very much. Our usefulness in service depends on how we handle the matter of opinion. If we are opinionated, Brother Lee said, we're through with the Lord's work. What implication does that have for the judgment seat? Think about it. If you're opinionated, you're through with the Lord's work. Your service is compromised. Then what about the judgment seat? Think about it, saints. Sometimes we're afraid to think. We need to think about it. You know, when I came into the Lord's recovery, you know, we all were used to just being in our mentality. And the Brother Lee was trying to help us to turn to the Spirit. And we were all in division, so Brother Lee was helping us to be on the ground of oneness, on the ground of locality. But some developed a phobia. I don't want to be in my mind. I don't want to be in my mind. You know, Fred's in his mind. You know, actually, this happened. You know, oh, Fred, you're in your mind. Well, saints, think about this. Forget that. Think about this. Soberly and in the Lord's presence. If you're opinionated, you're through with the Lord's work. Plus, how much we will grow depends on our dealing with opinion, both life and service. F, I said this earlier, but it's printed here as a point. The criticism and judging, the beating of the unfaithful slave in Matthew 24, 49, no doubt issued out of his opinion, his disposition, his concept regarding his fellow slave. Maybe he's quick, this fellow slave is slow. Brother Lee said, you know, our disposition to live according to our disposition is not sin, but it's very close to the deep well of sin. Let me illustrate. You know, you're a quick person. You know, the brother that you're with doing whatever, setting up the chairs, he's slow. So if you live according to your disposition and, you know, you set up two rows and he's still on the third chair of his first row, you might say, hurry up, brother. You know, you express something in a hurtful way. That becomes a sin. Saints, with us, this matter of opinion, I repeat, is a big problem. When we contact others, it's so easy for us just to exchange opinions on whatever. And with us, criticism. Occurs much more than feeding. Again, I say, we need to be washed by the water in the word. We need a turn around. We need the Lord's mercy.
Amen.
And I would add a point. Our disposition, our opinion, our concept also triggers off gossiping. Another cancer in the Lord's recovery. Gossiping. You know, you have your opinion about this, but did you see what he said? Did you see what he did? Yes, I saw what he said. Yeah. Not only that, did you hear? Oh, no, I didn't hear that. Death. then gee, here's something else negative, which is related to the self, our disposition, that is ambition. Opinion and ambition, dear saints, they trouble us all. The brothers, they may be ambitious to be an elder, and their wives are ambitious to be an elder's wife. Opinion and ambition. Ambition related to the self, seeking for promotion. Promotion can creep into the Lord's work. Brother Lee said this. You know, he called ambition, opinion, he said these are gophers. They undermine our standing. We're ambitious for the eldership. In some, that's, an ambition. In others, they want to get a loud amen. They're ambitious, from, kind of a tepid amen. They want a loud amen. This brother, he got a loud amen. I want a louder amen. And saints, this matter of seeking for promotion has saturated human society. And today it's out of control. Isn't that right? Everybody wants to be number one. And you know where that comes from? Satan. He wanted to be number one. And that fallen nature is in all of us. This is why the Lord went to the cross, right? To crucify the old I, which is all mixed up with Satan. That's the solution. You can't rehabilitate it. You can't improve it. It needs to be crossed out. Amen. And being ambition, point one, is hidden within us. It is an element of the satanic nature within, as you can see in Isaiah 14. 12 to 14, Satan there. He says, I will. He was full of ambition. I will. Eventually he said, I will set up my throne above the other angels, and I will be even equal with the Most High. And that nature is in us through the fall. Saints, do you realize that?
Yes.
Do you realize that?
Yes.
Can you please give me an answer?
Yes.
If you don't, say no. I'm not here to be pleased. We have such a fallen nature. You say, but the Lord's in me. But the Lord's in me. Well, if you've had any experience as a Christian, you realize that with you, actually, there are two men. There are still two men in you. There's the old man and the new man. You are still in front of the tree of life every day.
Amen.
The thing is, if we apply the Lord's death to the old man, that only leaves one man, that is the new man.
Amen.
But the problem with us is we do not apply the Lord's death to the old man. We just go along with the old man. There's a hymn that says, the former owner haunts the house. He's still very much with us unless we deal with him. Based upon what the Lord did historically,
amen.
We deal with him subjectively,
amen.
In a daily way.
Amen.
I will. That kind of desire for elevation, for promotion, is within all of us in our fallen being. Being ambitious, this is point two, and opinionated often join together to cause turmoil. And these two items, ambition and opinion, nullify our usefulness and our ability to coordinate. Think about it, saints. If you want to be number one, you know, and you got to coordinate. You know, you always have to have things your way. It's difficult to coordinate with that ambition within you. And also, being ambitious and opinionated cause us to be easily offended. Saints, how much offense there is in the Lord's recovery today. I speak to myself. This causes trouble because the ambitious one doesn't get what he's after because he's not useful, because he's opinionated. I don't know if you could follow me. I'll say it again. The ambitious one doesn't get what he's ambitious before because he is not useful. And he's not useful because he's opinionated.
Right.
And you know, if this kind of a person is in any kind of a higher position, turmoil is going to come out. And it has. We have seen this a number of times. Life is stunted. And our service is gone. So, point H, we come to the desired point. We need to deal with our disposition for the sake of our growth in life and our usefulness, our service in the body for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen, saints?
Amen.
We need to deal with it. We realize it's there, right? But just to realize is not enough. May the Lord urge us, deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it while it's still called today. You know, part of the day of salvation is to deal with our disposition. To be saved from it. Now, how do we deal with it? To do this dealing, number one, we need the scriptural basis. We need the word as our foundation with a strong realization or a strong vision that we, including ourselves, our disposition, our old man, whatever, have been crucified with Christ.
Amen.
We need a realization of that. Saints, I know we're very, very familiar with these verses, Galatians 2:20, Romans 6:6. But I would still encourage you to pray read them.
Amen.
Pray read them.
Amen.
Pray read them in a kind of a desperate way. Lord, I need to see I'm crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I need to see it is no longer I who live.
Amen.
Lord, I need to see it's Christ who lives in me.
Amen.
Lord, I need to see this.
Amen.
This needs to be my rock bottom foundation.
Amen.
My scriptural basis. This word needs to get in us and operate in us. We need to speak this to the devil.
Amen.
Speak to Satan. He comes to bother you. Look at you, look at you, look at you. Right? We need to give him the word of our testimony.
Yes. Amen.
You know what the word of our testimony? We need to be the overcomers.
Amen.
Give him the word of our testimony.
Amen.
That's Revelation 12:11. The word of our testimony. Satan, haven't you heard? I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
I'm a dead person.
Amen.
Don't bother somebody else. Well, actually, don't tell them that. Just tell them, get out of here. Get out of here. I'm crucified. I'm crucified. I see it. Don't you see it, Satan? Of course he doesn't. The next time he bothers you, Satan, don't you realize the old man has been crucified? I'm serious. You know, Brother Lee, when he was talking about Romans 12:11, he said, when Satan comes, you know, give him a message. And don't let him get away too quick. He said that. He said, give him a message. Give him a message. Wait, come back here, Satan. I'm not finished. More word, more experience. A sound effect is worth 1,000 words. Of course, he'll come back after a while. And what should you do when he comes back? Oh, no, here he is again. No, you do the same thing. Oh, you forgot? You forgot? I'm crucified. Let me remind you, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm serious. This is to overcome him by the word of our testimony. Then point two, that's on the objective side. Now there's a subjective part to dealing with the disposition. The objective part is the foundation of the word of God. What the Lord has already accomplished for us historically. We stand on that. But there's a subjective side. According to these verses, based upon these verses, we need to oppose, deny, reject ourselves. Continually living under the cross. And you say, oh, Brother Paul, that sounds like self-effort. That sounds like self-effort. What does Lord Jesus say? Who does the deny? That's right, we do. If any man, listen, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself.
Amen.
And take up his cross and follow me.
Amen.
Of course, when you take the initiative to do that, something wonderful happens. And this is a principle. God operates with our cooperation. I know I've shared this a number of times. Seems like every time I come here, I bring this up. God's operation needs your cooperation. That's the way God works. Sorry. You know, in my Christian life, I vacillated between two poles. During one period of time, I tried to do everything. I tried to do everything. And you know what happened? I burned out. Everything was out of self-effort. You know, but then I said, wow, I'm pooped out. Then you go to the other extreme. I'm not going to do it. Lord, I'm here by the pool of Siloam. And Lord, I can't get into the water. You know, even when the Lord healed people, it's very interesting. You know, sometimes it seems like the Lord just healed them. But, you know, what about the time when the Lord said, you know, he said, what do you want me to do for you? And the man said, I'd like to walk. He was lame. And so the Lord said, you know, the Lord didn't just, you know, and the man got up, you know. The Lord said, take up your bed and walk. Did you ever think about that? That take up your bed is the exercise of faith, which is our cooperation.
Amen.
I mean, this is called the principle of incarnation. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't just drop down out of heaven as a 30-year-old man. He was incarnated. He stayed in a virgin's womb. He needed the cooperation of Mary and Joseph. That is the way God operates.
Amen.
Saints, listen to me. I spent too many years ricocheting between those two poles. And eventually I realized, no, it is a matter of my God's operation needing my cooperation. Now, which is greater? Surely God's operation is the greater, but it needs our cooperation.
Amen.
You know, God is like a locomotive. Powerful, powerful. But the locomotive needs tracks. You know, that's a picture of God's operation. Needing our cooperation. Here are the tracks. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
That's the way God operates. You know, we just had in Joshua, you know, you come to the Jordan, right? Of course, the big part of Jordan is God separate the waters. But what happened right before that? What did the Lord require right before that? He required priests to put their feet into the Jordan.
Right.
A small thing, but that was the cooperation that God needed. Saints, it would be so easy for God to have programmed us like robots. You know, that we just, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yourself, I deny you. You know, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. But, you know, think about that. There's no glory to the Lord. It is when we exercise our spirit and our being uplifted will to cooperate with the Lord and to choose life that God gets the glory. Because God, like us, has ones that are observing him all the time. You believe me. The fallen angels know that man has a free will. And they're waiting for God to move unilaterally so that they could point their finger. Aha, aha, aha. You forced it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not off the top of my head. I've considered this for decades. The glory is in our cooperating.
Amen.
The glory to the Father is we cooperate by abiding in the vine and bringing forth fruit.
Amen.
God could just fruit. Fruit. I mean, he could just do it. But his way to gain the glorifying fruit is through our cooperation.
Amen.
I could spend the next week on this particular point. We're not robots. We have a free will. God honors that free will to the decimal point.
Amen.
Because Satan is watching. I'd like to share with you a word, initiative. You know, our cooperation is a matter of our initiative. I'll open up what that means. The priests at the Jordan River took the initiative, the first step, to put their feet in the water. Then the Lord came in and separated. And think about Jericho. Think about Jericho. I mean, what is greater, to level the city or to walk around it 13 times and then shout hallelujah? I'm serious. Which is greater? For sure, to level the city. That's God's part. But God wouldn't do that without the cooperation of his people.
Amen.
Saints, this principle is in the Bible from cover to cover. In Genesis, it didn't rain. Why? Because there was no man to till the ground. Right from the beginning to the end, this principle is there. God is telling us, this is how I operate.
Amen.
And saints, in our dealing with the disposition, this is how God operates.
Amen.
I have no idea how my time is. It's great. Okay. God, when we take the initiative by faith, God comes in. He does the greater part. God's part is the greater part. You might say, well, Brother Paul, haven't you read Philippians 2:13? It says it is God who operates in us, both the willing and the working. I said, yeah, I've read that verse. Read the one right before it. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is a principle. You can take it or leave it. You can say, this brother is loony. No, I'm not. Sorry. And saints, our denial is you know, I use words like oppose, deny, you know, what other words did I use? But anyway,
reject.
It boils down to N-O, no, right? When Satan comes in, And you know, is urging you to express your opinion on something, and the words are just coming right up your throat, through your mouth, to your tongue. You know, at that time, saints, we need to exercise our spirit and our being uplifted will. I don't have time to explain what I mean by that. But your will is, every time you are in the organic union, your will is strengthened and uplifted a little bit more.
Amen.
Read the footnote in Romans 6:5, footnote 1, to find out exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we think, you know, don't let me forget where I was. You know, we think, oh, you know, we're going through the church life, we're exercising our spirit, nothing's happening. No, something is happening.
Amen.
With your faculties, that is your mind, your emotion, and your will. Your mind is being renewed.
Amen.
Your emotions are being balanced.
Amen.
And your will is being strengthened.
Amen.
To cooperate with the Lord.
Amen.
I just like to shout this.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. This is happening. Satan is a liar. He would say, oh, nothing's happening. Look at you. Nothing's happened. You say, no, Satan. I'm in the organic union. I'm joined to the overcoming Christ. The life-giving Christ. The home in the heart Christ. The oil in the vessel, Christ.
Amen.
And as I'm joined to him, even if it's for a few minutes, oh, there's resurrecting going on.
Amen.
There's uplifting going on.
Amen.
There's enriching going on.
Amen.
And there's a little bit more of transformation going on.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
So saints, exercise that being uplifted will. It's happening. Even tonight, we're here together. Your will is being enriched, uplifted, strengthened. To do what? To say no. Satan, N-O. The N-O to Satan equals Y-E-S to the Spirit.
Amen.
Simultaneously.
Amen.
No, we. No, yes. No to Satan, yes to the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit is itching to come in, right? To conform you to the Lord's death.
Amen.
But he won't just barrel his way in. He needs your go-ahead. Moses told the children of Israel, choose life. We need to say no. You know, that it comes, deny actually comes from another Latin word, which means, you know, Satan comes, the word means negative. Satan, negative. Isn't that a military term for no? Negative. I like it. Negative. Satan, negative. And then the Spirit comes in positive. Okay, we need to finish up. Point three. When we do this, there's a wonderful hymn. To the foe, my word is always no. I think it's 880. To the foe, my word is always no. M.E. Barber wrote that hymn. To the foe, my word is always no. To the Father, it is yes. 'Tis my attitude eternal. May the Lord protect and bless. Saints, what is our word to the foe?
No.
No. It's simple. That's your cooperation. Then the Spirit comes in. Simultaneously, we're not robots, but once we give the no, that becomes the go ahead for the God who honors our free will. When we do this, right, we're following the Lord. You know, when the Lord told the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. At that time, the Lord was on earth in person, and the disciples were following the physical Jesus, right? And by following the physical Jesus, they were able to take up their cross and follow after him. But Brother Lee said a wonderful word. He said, today, the me in Matthew, right, chapter 16, has become the him in Philippians 3:10. To know him.
Amen.
That means he is now the Spirit.
Amen.
He is the Spirit.
Amen.
To know him.
Amen.
And the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
Fellowship of his sufferings. Being conformed to his death.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The me today is the him.
Amen.
Christ today is the Spirit.
Amen.
That is, Christ as the Spirit comes to supply the resurrection power to conform us to the death of Christ. This is the real putting to death, the real denial subjectively of the self,
Amen.
Of our disposition.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He strengthens, he confirms, and he seconds our no. Our disposition ends up where it belongs, our fallen disposition, that is, in the tomb. Matthew 24:24 says, let him deny himself. When we take the initiative, there's the word again, to deny ourselves, the Spirit will simultaneously come in. I don't have time to read the footnote in Romans 8:13, but actually, let me read a little bit of it. Thank you.
Amen.
Listen to this. I won't read it all. We must put to death the practices of the body. This verse is talking about putting to death the practices of the body, not technically denying the self, but the principle is the same. We must put to death the practices of the body, but we must do it by the Spirit. On the one hand, we must take the initiative to put to death the practices of the body. Listen, the Spirit does not do it for us. Did you get that? The Spirit doesn't take the initiative for us. Otherwise, we're a robot. On the other hand, we should not attempt to deal with our body, I could substitute, to deny ourselves, by relying on our own effort without the power of the Holy Spirit. The putting to death here is actually our coordinating with the Spirit who indwells us. Think we need to coordinate with the Spirit to deal with our disposition. Isn't it wonderful? We coordinate with the Spirit. Hallelujah. We get further transformed and our disposition is re-entombed where it belongs. This is the way God operates. I repeat it. We're not robots. We're not programmed. There would be no glory to the Lord in that. Point four, listen, dealing with our disposition is easier when we are young. That is under 50. I won't ask anybody to raise their hands as far as where they are age-wise. I'm long past that one. But it is easier when we are young. Too bad our young people are not here tonight. Anyway, you pass the word. We need to cooperate. But for us older ones, this is the last point. Is this impossible?
No.
Thank you. Let me ask you again. For us older ones, now don't look around to who's saying no. For us older ones, is this impossible?
No.
Hallelujah. No. Boo. Isn't that Chinese? Boo. I love it. Boo. I like the German nein. Nein. It has a bite to it. Whatever the language, we need to give the enemy the N-O. No, no, nein, yet, boo. This is not impossible. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even for somebody over 50, we can deal with our disposition. We have the sevenfold intensified spirit. We're not hopeless. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm an older one. We need the Lord's mercy and grace to see, first of all, the scriptural facts objectively. And then subjectively to oppose our disposition. And then we will enjoy God's conforming to the Lord's death operation.
Amen.
By the Spirit. For ourselves, for our disposition. With us, this is impossible. But with God, hallelujah, it is possible.
Amen.